your resume, as I look at it, mm-hmm. has a long history of going into positions, some of them interim, some of them not, mm-hmm. where you encounter an organization or a hospital that is in need, especially financial need, mm-hmm. and your resume includes a lot of change and right. a lot of adjusting it. Right. Is it fair to say that you've been brought in for that reason here?
I think what's fair to say is what I've been brought in, I've been successful in helping organizations be successful and to achieve a level of success. I think there's been a lot of change that's gone on at Search in the previous year or so. And what I'm really looking at over the next probably 90 days is just to kind of assess where we are, what are some of the potential needs, where are some of the potential fine tunings that we might need to do. A lot of times it's just simple blocking and tackling, and it's just mentoring and coaching and helping people realize that maybe there's a little bit different way to do some things. And so it doesn't necessarily mean drastic changes. It's sometimes just saying, how can we provide that service a little differently and make it more efficient for the patient, but also a little bit more cost-effective for the organization.
You had a time, 2009, 2010, as administrator of Alaska Native Medical Center, and the Search email that went out to employees mentions that it went from a $6 million loss to a $3 million surplus. Tell me a little bit about what you did at ANMC.
Well, when I landed at ANMC, we had several key initiatives, and one was to turn the organization around financially, and the second one was to assist with achieving an accreditation process. And it was a quality organization from a healthcare perspective, but some of the components that are required for accreditation were missing. And so we really had to create a very collaborative team with the medical staff and the nursing staff and folks to really rally together and to start making some really system changes to make sure that we were complying with all the regulations that an accrediting body like the Joint Commission has. From a standpoint of cost savings and so forth, it's really just looking at how you provide services. And are the employees coming to work when the patients come in? Are the employees going home when the patients go home? You know, sometimes it's just that kind of a simple thing to say, let's make sure we match up our people to the production. Just like McDonald's doesn't have cooks on cooking hamburgers when nobody's buying hamburgers, you know. And so it's just sometimes pretty simple stuff. It's looking at your contracts, what you're paying for different products. One of the challenges in healthcare has been timely recruiting of physicians and providers and allied health professionals. And so what happens if you are behind the curve? You end up bringing in replacement personnel, and that replacement personnel, which is temporary, sometimes costs you almost double because you're having to fly them in, provide housing, provide all that other thing. And so many times you can make some pretty significant savings by just ramping up, hiring permanent people in, and getting rid of what we call locums or temporary people.
What is your assessment of, I mean, just obviously it's, you've been on the job a week, but.
Yeah, this is my fifth day.
But you know, what do you know about Search in terms of its strengths and weaknesses? What kinds of things are you looking at right now?
Well, I've had the fortune of knowing Search a little bit from my days at ANMC because one of my responsibilities as hospital administrator there was in the second part of my tenure there was to really reach out to the regions and really start to collaborate better and interface the healthcare. Because I think sometimes what happens in any organization, and including whether it be Search or sometimes we forget about that we're there for the patient. You know, you kind of get distracted on some other things. You know, the strengths I see of Search, to be honest with you, is really great people, quality people, really supportive, wanting to do the right thing. And certainly the coverage out in the clinics appears to be really quite good. I think where we just have to look at is how we're running the operations. Are we being consistent? Are we eliminating variability? Sometimes, for instance, is every clinic run the same or is it run differently? Where can we take similarities and run things identically the same where it makes sense? Now, there's some areas won't be run the same. But what you find out is sometimes is as organizations grow over time, they don't pull back and look and say, how do we really need to have two different divisions doing the same thing? Or can we maybe bring people together? It doesn't necessarily mean a loss of a job. It really just means how can we make things run a little bit more efficiently and more productively.
I know, you know, there are obviously a lot of search employees in Sitka, and
right.
A lot of what I hear from most of them I talk to is a lot of concern about their future, their individual future in mm-hmm. search, especially after having watched Bill Brady Healing Center mm-hmm. just get announced that it's going to close. There's a perception that you've been brought in to make very difficult decisions and very brutal changes in the near future, and I'm wondering if you can address that.
You know, I can just share with you from a very sincere perspective and in a transparent way, and I really try to be a person of integrity around these kinds of questions. There's I've been given no agenda to do any kind of radical transformation of search. What I've been asked to do is come in and make some positive changes to help it be successful. And what I call not only to survive, which I think kind of feels like they're surviving, but to thrive. We didn't do drastic things up at ANMC, and we were able to turn it around and provide great quality care and provide the recruitment efforts we needed to. And when I left, the organization was moving in the right direction, and I don't think you don't see a lot of scar tissue from that process. In fact, I think you see a lot of people that were pretty pleased with the leadership I provided there. I think that's my approach here, and I appreciate why people can feel a little certainly concerned. And my strategy is really to help provide some support and some strength because really, happy employees give great care. And really what we want to do is make sure that we can build that infrastructure to support the employees, to provide the best care. And sometimes you provide that infrastructure. Let me give an example today. Somebody came into my office and we were talking about how we track certain events in the organization. Okay. And it's all done paper. And they said, you know, we have three different systems. It's done three different ways. I cannot, this person was saying, they really couldn't provide the kind of quality data and turn that into information and to help the organization continue to get better. And they were suggesting a software package. Well, heck, that's a pretty easy thing to do. And yet what we can maybe see is a real trickle-down effect in a very positive way to where it makes the jobs easier for our healthcare professionals. There are so many demands on healthcare professionals today, and my efforts and goals are always to try and what I call remove the boulders from the pathway so that people can easily do their job. And that generally helps create an infrastructure that can allow the organization to reach out, meet the needs of the community, and provide the quality care that this community deserves and wants.
I have a couple more questions for you. Okay. But I want to ask you to address one thing that has been brought to our attention, which was Enlo Medical mm-hmm. Center and mm-hmm. kind of the end of your tenure there.
Sure.
A lot of the stories I read two stories, one from what looks like the mainstream newspaper there and the
sure.
other from the Alt Weekly.
Sure.
Both of them painted a picture that was kind of like you made a big change.
Mm-hmm.
You put the hospital on better footing.
Right.
Or the medical center. But there was a lot of discontent among mm-hmm. among doctors especially.
Right.
And if I suppose if I was a doctor at Search, might read that and wonder what my relationship was going to be like with you. Can you address that? Because the story circulating among people here in town, several mm-hmm. people have emailed us links.
Yeah.
So just for the sake of addressing what happened there and your relationship with kind of the rank and file in a hospital.
Well, anytime you're at a place for 9 years, as I was at Enlo, and I came into the organization where, it was basically break even, 11 days of cash on hand, a lot of discontent within the organization. And during the time I was there, we were able to rebuild the heart program. It actually became the 13th largest in the state of California, revamped our whole cancer program and actually built an entire new cancer program and really created a sense of a quality organization that we didn't have there. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had to make a tough decision that you knew was going to be the right thing for the organization, but put yourself at risk? And as hospital CEOs, that's what you do sometimes. If you act with integrity, there's sometimes tough decisions you have to make that you know you're going to put perhaps your career at risk at that organization, but you're doing it for the right reason for that. And in this particular case at Enlo, it had to do with a particular physician group that our board of directors and myself felt was really somewhat detrimental to the patient care and the quality of patient-oriented care that we wanted to provide. And there were some specific instances I won't go into where the board finally said to me, we need to fix this. Through a lot of collaborative efforts, and it's all in the newspaper, so the end result was we accomplished at the time what the board was interested in having me do. I felt, because there was distress at the very end, that, you know, 9 years, I'd positioned the hospital, we had just achieved a brand new building project, got it through the state. It was going to transform the entire campus. I'd done my job for that community. And so I went to the board and I said, it's time for me to move on. At that point, the board chair, the vice, who was a college president, retired, the vice chair, who was a financier in the town, and the quality chair of the board, who was also a past college president, all resigned within about 2 or 3 weeks. Because what they were really saying is, we asked Dan to do this, and we are supportive of what he did. And yes, we know there's some little bit of chaos going on in the town. But I feel good about how I left that organization. When I left it, I had 130 days cash on hand. It was very successful, moving in the right direction, had received the Patient Safety Award from Health Grades for 3 straight years, one of only 41 hospitals in the entire nation. So a lot of good things occurred and left. But sometimes you leave and not everybody appreciates what happened.
In terms of then how that translates to your relationship here at Search with the rank and file, how important is it for the administrative wing or the administrative floor to have those relationships and have good relationships with the people who are the boots on the ground?
Oh, I think it's instrumental. I really do. I think if the people here in Sitka have concerns, just talk to the people up in Alaska, up in Anchorage. I feel very good about my relationships with the medical staff. When I left there, the medical staff was not happy that I left. And the employee relations, I think, were really quite positive up there. Same thing over in Baltimore. So I would just share with you that, like I said before earlier in our discussion today, happy employees provide quality care. Happy physicians give quality care. And so my goal certainly is to do my best in communicating and providing an environment where employees feel open in communicating their concerns, but also that I'm there listening.
Is it accurate to say that to some degree you are performing emergency medicine on hospitals?
That's possible. That's a possible way to look at it. I'm not always brought into every situation to say that. I wouldn't say Search is on life support. I would just say that Search is doing some restructuring to its operations. The reality is, if you look around what's going on with Affordable Care Act, with the new healthcare system being provided from the government, it truly is transforming how healthcare is going to be provided long term. And what's really pretty exciting to me and why I enjoy working with the Alaska Native system is that population health management, which is somewhat of the triple aim, which is to improve quality, improve access to care, and yet do it more efficiently. The Alaska healthcare system, because of specifically certainly for the Alaska Natives, has been all-inclusive. How do you take care of an individual? So I think you're going to always see change, and I think you're going to see more change all the time. And I would say as much as change is sometimes uncomfortable, I would just put at ease the Sitka community to say you probably should be more concerned if we aren't changing. Because if we're not changing, as the old axiom says, you're probably going the wrong direction, that you need to keep changing to keep evolving in the quality of care and the provision of care, because the healthcare world is changing. It really is. This is probably the most fundamental change in healthcare in over 50 years.
You've been to a lot of hospitals as an executive. And many of those hospitals have been in some form of difficulty when mm-hmm. when you've shown up. Mm-hmm. How does search compare to those other experiences? You know, when you're showing up, are you getting out the Band-Aids? Are you getting out the tourniquet?
Oh, I don't know. I would just say a lot of things search is going through are things that are pretty common in a lot of other areas. And sometimes I'm surprised. Sure, I am. But if it helps you feel a little bit better, with some of the most significant major institutions on the East Coast, I was pretty surprised. For instance, one very large one did not even have a productivity system, which is amazing to me. And so, because that's pretty basic blocking and tackling to managing your costs, which are your labor costs. Labor costs are the biggest cost in your hospital.
Productivity system measures how efficient an operation. What is
well,
it?
Well, basically, what a productivity system for a medical center is, it's volume driven, basically. So you have some fixed staffing, and then you have variable staffing. So that, for instance, you have one level of staffing if you only have two mothers in labor. If you have 15 mothers in labor, you better have more staff there. But if you only go back down to two mothers in labor, you don't need as much staff at that time. So it's that idea to flex up and flex down.
How did you get into healthcare management? Why of all things? Why not be a marine biologist or an astronaut or a firefighter?
That's a good question. My father was a HR specialist, vice president of HR, as well as a finance guy. And I would see him come home, and he'd be cranking with the Tinky adding machine, and I just go, oh my gosh, this looks really boring to me. And my mother was a math teacher, and so as I got through about my third year in college, and I was studying business, I said, Dad, what kinds of careers do you think might be interesting? And he had just come back from a corporate meeting, and he says, you know, you got to look at hospital administration, and. So I started doing some research. My last 2 years of college, whenever I had a special project, I tried to focus it around healthcare, and went out and talked to a lot of hospital CEOs and got to you know interview them just kind of like you're interviewing me now. Decided to go to grad school, and what I've really developed is a real belief and sense that it's really gratifying to know that almost every day I go to work, I'm helping somebody. And helping a community get healthy. And it's part of that wanting to make a difference. And the thing that I think you'll find about healthcare workers in general, and I think certainly is probably true of the healthcare workers here, is we take a great responsibility in taking care of the people in our community. And what's really special in a small community like this is you know everybody. So it kind of raises the bar on your performance. You can't screw up on your neighbor. You can't screw up on, and nor do we want to. But it's a real responsibility, I think, healthcare workers take very carefully, and certainly I do as a leader.
Dan Neumeister, thank you very much.
Thank you.